Welcome, everybody, to the Heichal Halftime Show. For those who were learning, definitely in the middle of Ksubis during the first half and weren't watching, just a brief update over here. It's 22-12. Philadelphia is up on top of New England with 34 seconds to halftime. A one-yard pass by Tracy Burton, the tight end, to the quarterback. An unbelievable thing. And Doug Peters going on 4th-and-1, and there you have it, 22-12. But don't count New England out. They were down by 18 last year, and this year they're only down by 10. So, they're right where they need to be. But we will see what happens. Philadelphia, 323 yards in the first half. New England, 350 yards in the first half. So what are the lessons for life that we can take from football? Because there are so many. First of all, whether you love him or you hate him, Tom Brady, three-time Super Bowl MVP, two-time NFL MVP, and at 38 years old, which is pretty impressive, and someone who says that he's not ready to retire anytime soon, we'll see about that. In 2001, Drew Bledsoe went down with an injury in Game 3, the New England quarterback, and Brady was waiting for his chance, and he got his chance. And he led the Patriots to the Super Bowl that year and never looked back. Bledsoe was traded to Buffalo. Coach Bill Belichick said about Brady that he's not a great natural athlete, but he's smart and he's an instinctive football player. It's as much about the mental as it is about the physical. And he is more mentally equipped than he's physically. But here's the thing that I was amazed by. Again, whether you love him or you hate him, Tom Brady goes to bed every night at 8:30 p.m. and wakes up at 5:30 a.m. He also has a very, very strict diet. A lot of veggies and lean meats. He doesn't eat too much sugar, white flour. All right, his diet, a lot of veggies and lean meats. No sugar, no white or hardly any sugar, white flour, olive oil, iodized salt, tomatoes, peppers, mushrooms, and all caffeine and dairy. He stays away from that. If you want to be able to do what he does, you got to be able to get rid of all those things. And we know, as Klal Yisrael, as the elite, in last week's parsha, Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kodosh, if we want to be that elite people, the very first halacha in Shulchan Aruch is, Yisgaber Kari, got to wake up like a lion. And as one of my rabbeim said, you can't go to sleep like a horse if you want to wake up like a lion. You want to wake up like a lion, avodas boro, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to go to sleep in the right frame of mind. You have to go to sleep on time. Look at Tom Brady. In bed, 8:30. That's pretty tough. But he needs to be up at 5:30. And he watches plays over and over and over with a pause button in his hand. Watching plays, they say, for 5 hours a day. Watching his mistakes and learning from them and growing from them. That's the way a person stays fit. We have to have a very strict schedule. And we also have a very strict diet in kashrus. What's our attitude towards kashrus? Yeah, it's probably all right. Okay, whatever. It's not, we need to also be very, very careful about our diet and our schedule if we want to be the great people that we are meant to be. Another lesson from football is teamwork. Not in more than in any other sport, no one player, as great as he is, even a quarterback, cannot dominate without the rest of his team. It's more of a team game than any other sport. Vince Lombardi, perhaps the greatest coach ever in all of sports history. Quote, individual commitment to a group effort, that is what makes a team work, a company work, a society work, a civilization work. Individual commitment to a group effort. Everybody has to feel it's on me, but I'm not the only one. I'm part of a team. I got to be selfless, but I got to do my part as much as possible. Third lesson, an unbelievable lesson. The concept of what Rev Dessler calls Nekudas HaBechira, the point of Bechira. We know that who we are is always changing, hopefully. We're growing, sometimes Chas V'Shalom falling, but we're always moving. Says Rev Dessler, what is today part of my free choice, tomorrow is not necessarily part of my free choice. For a person who's struggling to become religious, so not turning a light on Shabbos, that's part of his Nekudas HaBechira. It's very hard for him. But hopefully after a few weeks, months, years that he's doing it, that's no longer part of his Nekudas HaBechira, because he already mastered it. He already doesn't need to struggle within himself. He has other struggles, maybe Lashon Hara, maybe looking at things that he's not supposed to look at. But that line of scrimmage in football, the line of scrimmage is over. always moving, and the nekudas habechira of who we are and the struggles that we have is always moving as well, because we're not static people. We're always changing, and the challenges that we have and what's difficult for us and easier for us is always changing as well. Another great lesson from the game of football: the line of scrimmage is always moving. A fourth lesson. In September 9th, 2017, not too long ago, in college football between Louisiana Tech versus Mississippi State, it was towards the very end of the game. It was second and goal from the Mississippi 6-yard line. Louisiana Tech snapped the ball, but it was a broken play and the ball rolled back and it rolled all the way downfield. But here's what happened. No player from Mississippi picked up the fumbled ball, so nobody technically established possession. So the ball, again, football rules, never changed hands, and it went all the way downfield. So listen to what happened. On the next play, Louisiana Tech had third and goal, but they were at the, and they were at the 7-yard line. Third and goal. The only problem is they were at their own 7-yard line. So, in other words, it was third and goal with 93 yards between the line of scrimmage and the end zone. That is a very unusual play, because we know that normally the only focus we have to get a first down is 10 yards. That's it. No matter where we are. And that's an unbelievable lesson for us as well. Sometimes we feel distant. Sometimes we feel far away. But our goal always has to be to get a first down. Whatever that first down is for us in our Avodas Hashem, no matter how far away, Chas V'Shalom, we are, just got to get a first down. I just got to get myself back on my feet, kind of move in the right direction, and then keep moving, one step at a time. Like the dream of Yaakov Avinu when he was on Har Moriah, Sula Mutzav Artzav Rosho Magia Shemaima, a ladder with its feet planted firmly on the earth and its head in the sky. Why a ladder? Because a ladder symbolizes step by step. That's the way growth is. One rung at a time. And if a person tries to take too many rungs at one time, Chas V'Shalom, he ends up on the floor. And falls all the way down, and that's much harder. Don't go, well, sometimes we go for the long ball, but normally it's one first down. That's what we got to get. One first down, no matter how far down the field we are, keep the ball moving. One first down at a time. Sometimes people wonder, one final lesson, and then one great story to end off. Sometimes people wonder, I've been asked this question, what's with all the details in the Gemara? So busy with the details. Like, okay, enough already. Like, okay, what do we need to decide whether this happened or that happened or pulling apart? What's the difference of all the nitty gritty details? Like, who cares? Well, 2 weeks ago, there was a controversial call at the very end of a game with the Pittsburgh Steelers against the New England Patriots on December 18th of 2017 during the playoffs. Pittsburgh scored a touchdown with 28 seconds left to take the lead over New England, 30-27. Unbelievable. They had the lead against the defending champions, and it looked like Pittsburgh was going on and New England was out. Roethlisberger, connected with the tight end Jesse James for a 10-yard touchdown, 28 seconds to go. But it was called in on a review, on a detail, and the play was overturned. The official explained that because the ball shifted as James twisted his way into the end zone, you have to put your thumb in the air for this one, it did not, quote-unquote, survive the ground, and therefore wasn't a catch. And if I don't know anything about football, I'm saying to myself, who cares about all the dumb details? You know who cares about all the dumb details? New England went on to win the game because the touchdown was called off. Pittsburgh lost. New England is in the Super Bowl tonight because of a detail 2 weeks ago, which gave Pittsburgh the win. So details are only unimportant if you don't understand their significance. But if you understand that details, how important they are, and in any relationship, any friendship, especially in a spousal relationship, husband and wife, the details are maybe perhaps the most important thing. The little things that we do for each other are the most important thing. It's an unbelievable story, not story, an email that went out to the rabbi. Writes, you know, the dear rabbi, you know, is what's with all the details in Judaism? One kezias of matzah, this much, that much, 1 minute off between whether it's Shabbos or not Shabbos, Machal Shabbos, you know, who cares about all these details? And then he writes, and by the way, Rabbi, did I finally stump you? Because I sent you this question a week ago and you didn't respond. Sincerely, Jeff. Dear Jeff, the rabbi's response, I want you to know that I did respond to you. I responded to you immediately, in fact. But what happened was, I wrote Jeff, whatever it was, jeff123@gmail.com. But instead of writing jeff123@gmail.com, I forgot the dot. So I sent it to jeff123@gmail.com. But it's just a dumb dot. Who cares? What's the difference? Meaningless little silly dot. Just because of that, you shouldn't have gotten my email. But you know, Jeff, I guess that little dot does matter. So the little things in life are very significant, except that sometimes we don't know what they mean. And the same thing is true in our Judaism. Maybe they are very significant, just we don't always know what they mean. So we need to go out and learn and study and steig to figure out and understand, to verstehen what is the meaning and depth of those little details, because they are very significant. And that's another lesson from sports in general. Sometimes the review, especially now in the last few years, has become very in vogue. They're sitting there reviewing the play, reviewing, they come out, and they say, after review of the play, because, first of all, that's also a great lesson, reviewing plays in general, we have to review the things that we do, and sometimes we have to admit to mistake. It's probably a little uncomfortable for the referees and the coaches and the umpires, but also, it's the point that the little details about things, we have to be very, very careful when we look at them to know, because they are very significant, even if we don't think so. And lahavdil, that's for sure true when it comes to Torah and Ruchnias and our connection with Hashem. Let me conclude with a great story. Rav Moshe Weinberger, very well-noted Rav and beloved Rav in five towns, was once invited to a Super Bowl party by his congregants. So, he's a good Rav, so he went. And he sat in the back of the room he came towards the end of the game, and he sat in the corner of the room and didn't say a word. And then, at the end of the game, all of a sudden, with like 2 or 3 minutes left, can you imagine, all the guys from his shul, they're jumping around with their kids, screaming and yelling at you, come on, Yosha, what are you doing? All the stuff that's maybe going on in some of our homes, and will go on in the second half. And all of a sudden, Rav Moshe Weinberg, who was quiet and didn't say a word, was just sitting in the background, got up, walked over to the TV, and pulled out the plug. Can you imagine, all of a sudden it went dead quiet in the room, and they stared at him with very confused shock. And Weinberger says to them, I just want to ask you all one question. When was the last time your children saw you as passionate about anything in Yiddishkeit as you are right now? And then he plugged it back in and probably ran for his life. But what a lesson. We need to be excited and passionate about our Judaism. We need to have feelings for it. Like, we're excited about this game tonight. Not just the food. The food is just there to enhance it, maybe. But we're excited about the game. This awesome game going on. We need to feel that way about Yiddishkeit. We need to feel the way of putting on tefillin. Maybe we won't feel that way every day, but in general, about a Shabbos, about Purim that's coming. Not just about the costumes, about the Kabbalah Satorah, about Pesach, about the fact that we're Jews. That's awesome. And those are some of the great, incredible lessons that we can learn from the game of football. So, enjoy the second half. And for those of you who, of course, are going back to your Gemaras and didn't watch the first half, enjoy your learning. And as Hirsch said, we don't have to do what everybody else is doing. And the symbolism of that is the fact that we didn't watch this halftime show along with everybody else. And we have the ability to say no and turn it off. That itself is a tremendous statement to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. May the best team win. Enjoy, everybody. Have a great night.